So when you get the Millers, you get double anointing. I got to commend you guys. You have made us so welcome. You know, it really feels like a touch of God that even from the car park onwards, we feel welcome. You know, and I was so blessed on Friday evening. We came in here and every part of the body was doing its share. It was beautiful. Hey, Lorette. It was beautiful. And I can't remember the name of the lady who does the... Lizanne. Lizanne had done the decor. And we were talking at the end of the evening. And I said, you know, it's beautiful when you see the body of Christ dwelling together in unity. And you see people running in their lane. Do you know what I mean by running in your lane? Like, if I'd done the decor, you wouldn't have been so thrilled, you know? You're not going to allow me into children's church this
morning.
You're
very pleased that I didn't do the decor, I promise.
So we were talking about this, and it is relevant, darling, but we were saying about running in your lane. And those of us that have been to school sports days, and that's just about everybody, we think of a lane as being a little narrow thing, and we just got to stay in there and make sure the baton goes over like this. But actually, as we spoke, God was saying, His lane reaches from here to Jesus in heaven. And your lane, whatever your lane is, whether it's singing, whether it's administration, whether it's preaching, your lane is as high as He is. You're not restricted to a little one. Your singing is not restricted to here. It reaches the heavens. And as we minister this morning, just know that God has, He can go higher and deeper and wider and broader because His love is omnipotent. So, thank you.
That was awesome. I just want to commend the praise and worship team. I think, I don't know if you had our notes for this morning. It was honestly, it was just so apt, so well done. I mean, it was just a beautiful worship. I think you need to give them a round of applause.
Yeah, well done.
Really, it was
well
so, done. So, so good. And thank you so much. And I just want to say that the message we're giving this morning is really simple. It's probably all scriptures you know, all things that you know, but I want you to have open hearts. Because I believe God is going to help us, keep us in that lane. This morning, you know, you have to be focused on the lane that you're in. So I was walking with Rona from a coffee shop this morning. And my focus was looking in the shop windows.
With his mask on.
Yeah, and I was walking towards the door. I knew I was going, but my eyes were not where I was going. And I kicked one of those little signs, those little yellow signs on the floor when they're mopping the floor. I kicked that thing all from one end of the corridor to the other. And it's exactly what happens to our lives. We're going to intercept something we didn't expect if we don't keep our eyes on the ball. So it is really important that we do that. And we are living exactly as these songs were saying. We're living in turbulent times. How many of you know that this is quite something? Has anyone lived through a time like this in your lifetime? Put up your hand if you have. I mean, if you went through World War II, maybe yes. But this is really turbulent times. And it's not just the COVID thing, you know? I wish I could see your smiles. I hope you're smiling today. Just give me a smile. Quick. Show me your smile.
Yeah,
quick, that's good.
Okay,
good. But, you know, it's such a difficult time, but this it's not just that. If you look worldwide, I mean, there are earthquakes. There's volcanoes. I mean, for heaven's sake, there's wars. It's exactly as was predicted. So what now for us? What now in this environment? What is it that we must do? What must we keep focused on in our walk? So those last 15 months have tested us. And it's tested our abilities. It's tested our abilities to adapt and to change. But I want to tell you, we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be surprised. Just tell your neighbor, I'm not surprised. You have no idea where you said that, so get surprised. All right, so the reason is because Jesus said these words. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you may have tribulation. You're going to have it. You will have tribulation. Not a may, you will have tribulation. And that word tribulation means the following. Are we ready for this? Pressure. Anybody feeling pressure? Oppression. Stress. Anybody feeling a little stressed? Hopefully not in here. But I love this. It's anguish. It is squeezing. Anybody feeling squeezed by a mask this morning? Squashing. And it means distress. And there are many people, maybe even in here today, that are distressed. But in the world, there is certainly distress. But Jesus goes on to say this. But be of good cheer. Cheer means joy. I have, not I will, I have overcome the world. Amen.
So what now? What are we going to do now? I mean, flip. Anybody's, I've got a terrible comeback. Okay. Anybody had disappointment recently? I'll be honest, I have found this the hardest thing to deal with in lockdown, is that you plan something, you want to do it, you want to meet with somebody, and the next thing you know, you can't do it. Your children, they're trained for a sports team, they're doing really well. Now, sports cancelled. Maybe there's disappointment because you've lost a job or lost finances or we're going on an overseas trip. I mean, we have tickets for Geneva on the 31st of May.
Right.
How disappointing is that? Okay, so I mean, obviously we can't go. But just this constant disappointment. But Jesus gives us hope. So I'm coming in from what now? What now? When I was growing up, they measured your IQ. You know, remember those days you had to do all these tests and they supposedly measured how intelligent you were?
I never got a good... not very good at that.
Then, over the time of our kids growing up, they were more into measuring EQ, which is your emotional quotient. How good are you at dealing with the emotions of life? But right now, the thing that you need is AQ. Who knows what AQ is? Adaptability quotient. You know, we have to adapt day after day after day after day. We adapt to no sport. We adapt to a double shift at school. We adapt. I think I'm...
Okay.
So when the buzzword, how many of you have had to adapt to... what are they called? Zoom meetings.
Yeah,
we all got... I mean, you just... Oh, I can't do it. You just say the word Zoom meeting, and even behind the mask, you can see people go... Yeah. You know, we've adapted. We do the Zoom meeting. I mean, one of the joys that John and I have had is we've actually done lots of premarital counselling with somebody in Europe... getting married to somebody in America, going to get married in South Africa, you know, and it's easy on the Zooms, but we've done team meetings, we've had to adapt in so many ways. And the buzzword is pivot. Okay, I need a young volunteer, somebody who's fairly fit, and I pick on you.
Yeah. He looks fit. Wouldn't mess with him.
We won't mess with you. So this is somebody trying to pivot. Okay, so if I stay solid on the ground, if I say to you, all right, we've got to do lots and lots of Zoom meetings, so we'll get that rid of that. All right, now you're not allowed to go into the shopping mall anymore, so we'll get rid of this over here, going over here. All right, bend, not walking around, just bending. Okay, and then you've got different family, you'd like to see family, but you're not allowed to travel. So, oh no, go leaning backwards. Okay, so this whole pivot thing that we've been doing, we get rid of some things, we have to adapt to things. If you're a little canoe, it's easy to pivot. If you're a container ship stuck in the Suez Canal, it's not so easy to pivot. So, but what does not change? What does not change? And in Psalm 1:1-3, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But your delight, my delight, your delight is in the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water.
Good tree.
That brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does prospers. Yesterday we went to Kirstenbosch. Be a nice tree. Be a nice tree. Okay. Yesterday we went to Kirstenbosch, and while we were there, the wind started to blow. The blend. And the rain started to come. But the trees were still standing because their roots went deep. And as long as our roots are deep and we follow through on the word of God, they will not wither, but will bear fruit in season. Thank you so much. You're a great tree.
Actually, he really did look like one of those things in the garage. You know those things, those you know, you got like an air pump at the bottom and they go like this. But the thing is, it's rooted to that air pump. But if you stop the air, it just goes. If we don't have Christ in our life, we go. We collapse. And that's why we need to be rooted. Such a good picture. Well done. So we want to go back in time to the first church. And I want to pick on one guy. I like this guy. His name is Peter. Peter is kind of like, I think, all of us, you know. This guy, I think he's full of bravado. He's, yeah, my mate. Yeah, he's one of those kids, you know. Yeah, how's it, China? How you doing? You know, he's really like one of those guys. And yet, you think he's strong. You think he's all got it together. Yet, here's the guy who denied Christ three times. He's the guy who almost switched off his pump underneath him. So he's a little bit weak. He's a little bit double-minded. In fact, even the servant girl, he was afraid of her when she said he was with Jesus. But even so, he remembered after Christ had died, after Christ was resurrected, after Christ had come back and been in that upper room with them and showed himself to them, he remembered the words that were spoken to them. And he remembered that he would receive something that is going to change his life. In Acts 1 verse 8 it said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in Brackenfell and in all the ends of the earth. You will be. And at that moment, on that day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And something radical changed in this man. Something happened in him. A man who couldn't stand up to a servant girl. A man who was double-minded. A man who denied Christ. Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. was able to stand up in front of a crowd and preach a sermon that is beyond all other sermons. And at the end of that sermon, 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ. Wouldn't you like that, Kubus? I mean, I would love that. I've never, you know, it's never happened in my lifetime to see that many. I've had quite a few saved in meetings, but not 3,000 people. And Acts 2, verse 42, talks about the result of that meeting. And this is where we want to spend some time. And it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and of breaking of bread and in prayers." So how do you sustain this outpouring of the Holy Spirit? How do you sustain that wind that is coming beneath you to blow you up so you can be strong and tall? What is it that can make you grow to that place of stability? And there are four fundamental aspects. Four aspects that, although it happened right at that revival, it has gone from generation to generation to generation through the church. And you know that we are probably somewhere between the 80th and 100th generation since the preaching of that first sermon by Peter. We are the one carrying the torch now. We are the ones to do the job. So here are the things we need to do. It is being steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, being steadfast in fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayer. Four simple aspects. We know these things, but it is good to be refreshed about it. And what do they mean? What is it that they mean? And I want to deal with a couple of them. And the first one is the apostles' doctrine. And that actually means the teachings of Jesus, the teachings of Christ. We need to be au fait with that. That when you get up in the morning and things are, you know you've got a big meeting and everything else, you know who to go to get some support before the meeting. It's Him. Amen. Through the Holy Spirit. And it's that which the apostles taught when they went out. That's what they taught. The teachings of Jesus. That's what they'd heard. That's what they had in their hearts. And we have to be people of the Word and not just people of the experience. Church has become about experience. It's what, it was so lovely in church today. I had such a great experience in church today. Oh, I had goosebumps. There was goosebumps on goosebumps and the hair on the back of my head turned. Oh, it's more. Look, that's great. I'm not denying that. But you can't live on that. The Word is what's needed to change the situation. The Word will sustain you. The Word is food to your soul. And the Apostles' Creed encapsulates that. The creed that, I don't know if any of you were in the Anglican Church, Methodist Church, Piesum Christum, Dominum Nostrum Church, Catholic Church. You know, anybody come from sort of some sort of denominational background? Come on, just put up your hand nice and high. It's quite interesting, actually. Look at that. You see, it's the Afrikaans Domini Church. You know, so what we're going to do is we're actually going to recite this Apostles' Creed. Can we do that? And in the Anglican Church, we stood to attention. You know, like good English people, we would stand to attention. So I think here, being a good church in the Afrikaans belt, let's stand. Boervos. Okay. And we're going to stand and we're going to repeat and say the Apostles' Creed. And when you say it, I want you not just to read it. I want you to take it on board and understand what it says. So let's do it together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well done. Well said. Let's just sit down. Let's give the Lord a hand for that one.
Well done.
But just to say that, you know, that Catholic Church doesn't mean the Holy Catholic Church. The Catholic Church means the entire church. We're not part of a denomination. We are part of Jesus' church. This is the church that he is building, I hope. This is not a man-made church. This is a God-made church. And it'll be a strong church. So these are the things we need to believe it. We need to receive it. We need to live it. And we need to preach it. That short thing, we need to know it in our hearts. Maybe put it on your wall for a week and learn it and have it there, because this is what's going to sustain you. That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 4, verse 34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." That's what he was there to do. And encounters with the Spirit of God will give you power, strength, and ability to be a witness along the way. And the Holy Spirit that we're already talking about this morning will teach you the way you should go. However, it is the Word that gives you the direction. It is the Word. The Holy Spirit didn't warn me about that sign this morning.
Neither did his wife.
No. I don't think she saw it either. But anyway. But it's the Word that gives you the direction. And you have to make sure that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life on a daily basis. Acts 2 verse 36 says this, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Two things. The disciples, those early disciples, did it steadfastly. Steadfastly. It says they did it steadfastly. That means immovable. It means convicted. It means with no turning back. That's what it means. And turning back, I mean, there's this scripture that I remember when we first saw it, when we first went to Bible school, it really ate at us. And we thought, this is what's going to keep us going through our life. In Luke 9:62, it says, "But Jesus said to him, 'No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" You can't look back.
Can we just pause there?
Yeah.
This actually was when I was praying and I said, "God, you want us to go to Bible school?" It was about early 80s. And this jumped out and he said, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." It still scares the whatever out of me. That, you know, we put our hands to the plow. Like we said on Friday night, marriage, no plan B. We just keep going. We keep going. We keep going. But with Jesus, as we eat the Word, we keep going. He feeds us day by day. The Holy Spirit's our friend. He leads us. And there's joy in the journey. It doesn't mean there aren't mountains. We live in Chabot. You cannot get there without going up a mountain. Doesn't matter which direction you come from, you have to go up a mountain. In our journey with Jesus, we're going to go up mountains. Some of you are there right now thinking, oh, flip, I didn't know it was going to be this much work. But let me tell you, when you get to the top of Sloboda, the view is phenomenal. The people are great. And it's like that in our lives. Don't turn back. Keep your hand on the plow and keep climbing with Jesus. He's going to take you places that you didn't even know existed.
Amen. Sure. And that kind of leads into the second thing. So the first thing is we need to know the apostles' doctrine. The second thing is we need to be in fellowship. Wasn't it rough being in fellowship on just the Zoom call? It's not fellowship. It's like, hi. Yeah. And then your screen goes blank and you don't know if they've left.
Gone for a pee.
They're gone for a sleep. You just don't know. You know, you don't know what they're doing, you know. But it's so wonderful to be able to have fellowship together, is it not? And there's strength in fellowship. There's strength. I love this pulpit. Who made this pulpit? Did you make this pulpit? So I love this pulpit because, you know, this is like a honeycomb. And the six sides of a honeycomb is the strongest known structure. But to me, this is a lovely picture of fellowship. It means that we are joined together. Can you see that? If you're one little hexagon, you get joined to someone else. You're joined to someone else in this church. You're joined to your wife, your husband. You're joined to your family, your children. But what I love about this one is that there's some gaps here that need to be filled. There are people out there who need to be joined in here because this thing can fall over. You see, it has a little structure here because it's going to fall over because there's not enough people in this structure. This is a picture of the church. Is that right? Is that why you built it?
That's a new interpretation.
Nice interpretation. Okay, I just wondered. Okay. You'll take that?
So I didn't know you were going to say that. But I have a group of ladies. And we were talking about this the other day, about in a honeycomb, I only have to worry about this. I'm not worrying. If I'm in this one, I don't have to worry about that one down there. They're related to this one. So it doesn't become, oh my goodness, Corbis and Lorette have got to build this church, come on. No, they've got a whole team around them. Yeah. And they're doing their bit. They're doing it here. Somebody else's, the worship team are doing their bit there. Yeah. The outreach to the old people are doing it there. The foster care people are doing it here. And each part, not individually, separately, we're not silos, we're joined together. We rely on each other. But I don't have to worry about what your part is. I didn't come in here this morning saying, have you done this? Have you done that? Have you done the other? No, that's your part of the deal. And you didn't say to us, well, have you got your notes? You know, we do our part. You do your part. But have a think a moment. Who are you touching sides with? Maybe it's a colleague at work. Maybe it's teachers at the school. Maybe it's somebody in church. But we should all be touching sides with somebody. Are you with me? And we'll help each other on the journey.
And that word fellowship is, I'm sure you know, is koinonia, which literally means sharing. Sharing unity. It means partnering. It means participation. It means a communion of people or a fellowship of people. We are a communion of people. Amen.
When Jesus, you know, it's interesting. The disciples walked with Jesus. We know the stories. They walked with Jesus and they didn't say, won't you tell us how to do that feeding of the 5,000 thing? Or, you know, that thing when you spat in the mud. How do we do that? Do we... or is it just... And they didn't say that. They said, teach us to pray. teach us to pray. And then he said, our Father. It means all of us. We're in fellowship. Our. Not just, he could have said Father, intimating that's his Father, but it's not. It's your Father and your Father, and your Father. It's our Father who art in heaven. And then he went on to say, your kingdom come.
Yeah.
One of the really exciting things for me about the 15, 18 months, whatever it is that we've been locked down and living in this weird world, is seeing kingdom come alive. Recently, yeah. We watched, we signed up for the Alpha Leadership Conference. It's normally at the Albert Hall in London, which is closed to COVID, you know. And they pack out the Albert Hall. I don't know how many that takes. But this year, they had 140 plus nations signed up to do a leadership course. Nobody paid an airfare. Nobody had a hotel booking. Nobody had to get transport. We all just signed up. And they talked what was happening in South America, what's happening in Europe, what's happening in Africa. God is on the move. He is building his kingdom. And as we fellowship with others, don't get into that silo. Start working with the teams, whatever they may be. Nikki Gamble's, he's the leader of Alpha, Designed Alpha. He said, you know, when I spoke to my team and they said, we've got to put Alpha, the Alpha course online. He said, no, that's never going to work, you know. And we need some young people around us to go, it's possible, let's do it, you know.
Come on.
And the team got around him. And in this lockdown period, just the 15 months they'd had up to that point, they have had 1.3 million people sign up and do Alpha. You know, this is Peter preaching and seeing 3,000 come to the Lord. It may be a different method, but the message is still the same. It's still the apostles' doctrine. The method has just changed. We're seeing, John and I are part of 24/7. It's a prayer movement that is in half the nations of the world. You see the prayer at work. And some of the people that come in is quite inspiring. How many of you have watched The Chosen?
Who's not watched The Chosen?
Everybody say shame.
Shame on you.
You need to be watching The Chosen. It's not a biblical word by word, blow by blow account of Jesus' life, but it gives you a picture of the love that he walked with, of the way he walked into a situation, and without saying a word. You know, the disciples were there going, I'm more important than you.
No, I'm much more important than you.
And then Jesus walks into the room and says, good night, guys. Everybody's convicted. Oh, what was I doing? What was I thinking? So we went to, it's on an app, The Chosen app. And last time I looked, 162 million people have downloaded that app. So
just
also
say that
free.
Again.
It's free.
162 million people have downloaded it. Now, when I downloaded it for us, that's two of us. If you download it for your family, there may be four, six, however many you've got in the family. There's so many people watching this thing worldwide. It's incredible.
And the gospel says that all may hear. We are living in a very exciting time right now where all might hear. You know, when people are lonely and they want the answers to questions, you know, if you lived in England, you can't go down to the pub anymore. You can't even, you know, there's nobody to chat to. So they're going online. Now, I'm not suggesting you guys do it, but I'm just saying we're hearing what God is doing. His kingdom come. His kingdom, not, and he will build his church that way. Let's carry on. Okay, so we have been talking about the apostles' doctrine. We've been talking about fellowship. And then the third thing was breaking of bread, which is a heads up to whoever's doing the breaking of bread thing. You're okay? Okay, so why is breaking of bread so important? Because it puts us in remembrance that this was not just a do-good exercise. This was the Son of God who was born into the world. He walked as a man, yet he was without sin. He took the sin of the world so that you and I don't have to. So that you and I don't have to go to hell. We can go to heaven to be with the Father forever and ever. Whoever believes in me shall have eternal life. He is not condemned. When we take bread, Jesus, listen to this. In 1 Corinthians it says, Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks. I don't know about you guys, but when I'm betrayed, and you will be betrayed, whether it's family, friends, the church, whatever, you will be betrayed. But what did Jesus do? He's our ultimate example. On the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks. Now, there's a pivot for you. There's a pivot for me. On the night that I'm betrayed, I don't go, I knew they were no good anyway. I give thanks. Lord, it's an honor. You know, we had the privilege of ministering in the Far East. A lot of those nations were persecuted. And one guy had been, he was North Korean, he'd been put in jail for proclaiming the gospel. And whoever was interviewing him said, oh, when we heard you'd gone to jail, we were all so sad and we prayed. And this guy says, no. He says, no, you don't mean to be sad. It is a privilege to suffer for the gospel. Okay, pivot, you know. There's a lot of thinking that one has to change on. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks. And this is my body broken for you. His body was broken for me. Oh. This is the cup for the forgiveness of sins. Okay, anybody without sin, cast the first stone. Anybody going to throw that first stone? We've been forgiven. And then it goes on and it says, in the Corinthian scripture, it says, but let a man and a woman examine themselves. So in breaking of bread, we don't only forget what he's done for us, we remember the breaking, but we examine ourselves. So let's just close our eyes a moment. And we remember what you've done, Lord, but before we partake of the communion elements, we examine ourselves. We examine ourselves. We ask your grace and your forgiveness upon our lives for those things that we have done that we should not have done, for those things we've said which we should not have said, for those things which we have not done, which we should have done, and the things which we have not said that we should have said. Oh Lord, teach us. We come to this table today and we remember your plan. We remember that he was born of a virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, and yet he rose again. And he gives us life forevermore. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that as we come and we partake of this communion this morning, you not only forgive us, but you cleanse us. If we confess our sins one to another, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we give you our unrighteousness, and we're so grateful that we pick up your righteousness, your peace and your joy, which is the kingdom, this morning in Jesus' name. We worship you, Jesus. You are worthy. Oh, Father, we're so grateful. We don't walk this walk on our own. We walk it with Jesus. We walk it with the Holy Spirit. And we walk it in fellowship with other believers. Thank you for the body of Christ. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. So we've done 3 of our 4 points. We keep to the apostles' doctrine. We have fellowship with one another. We go breaking bread. And we can do it from house to house, wherever. And the fourth one is prayer. As I mentioned, we're part of 24/7. And they've got a very simple, what do they call those things? Anagram? No, whatever they call it. You know when you have all the numbers? The letters? Okay, prayer. Pray. First of all, our Father. You know, you don't rush into the presence of God and go, okay, Lord, I've got this shopping list. I mean, I know some people do. But if I walked in every night and John came home, and as he walked through the door, I said, oh, and the car needs fixing, and the plumbing's gone, and could you just pay that bill? And I mean, what sort of relationship would we have? When we come to God in prayer, pause. You know, we all, like, I know you've all got masks on now, but you just go, okay, breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. In through your nose, and out through your mouth. And we pause and we say, Lord, I come into your presence. Come into your presence. And then I rejoice in him. What a beautiful day in Cape Town this morning. Hey, flip, we came out of the house and it was just this beautiful blue sky. It was just, I mean, there's much to rejoice about. We got out of bed, had a good night's sleep. We're coming to church. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. We've got a lot to be thankful for. So before you even think about asking, let's pause, rejoice, then we can ask. But you know what? So often we ask for something. Lord, I've got this neighbor and she's very lonely. Won't you send somebody to her? Rona. You know, we need to yield. Having prayed, we need to yield. Say, Lord, what's my part? World peace. Well, let's start by having peace between us. Let's start by having peace in our home. Maybe you're on a homeowners association. Let's have peace in the environment you live in. You know, don't just pray world peace and Lord, make them. When a prayer starts with them, you know you're not part of it. Yeah. Let us. Put your hands out. We say, Lord, Holy Spirit, come. You can lead us and guide us into all truth. Holy Spirit, we trust and rest and rely upon you. It's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit. So we say, come, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Mm. Speak to us and show us. Yeah. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And Father, I just pray too that as we have this moment of yielding, we yield our life to you so that we may be a blessing to others. And sometimes, Lord, we don't know who that person may be. But you always have someone lined up for us. And let us be attentive and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, that as we walk in a shopping center or wherever we may be, you will draw our attention to the person we must meet. And that, Father, we can be vessels of change in this environment right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we get back to what now? And what must we do? That question is saying, really, what is it that we must do as the body of Christ? And it's so interesting, that is the only question and the first question those 3,000 people asked. What must we do? Acts 2 verse 37 says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. How's your heart now? Have you been cut to the heart? And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, including us, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. So what is the entrance key to revival? It's very simple. Repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. Repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. And so the question is, have you done that? Have you all done that? And it's one thing to have done it a long time ago, but maybe you took your hand off the plow. Maybe you have allowed the plow to just wander through the field and you're not even attached to it. You can come to church and not be attached. Mm-hmm. You can have a religious background, but you're not attached. You have to put your hand on the plow. And the plow is Jesus. So I just want you to bow your heads for a second. Just close your eyes. And I'm going to ask that, you know, sometimes we have been Christians, in inverted commas, for years and years. But we know in the depths of our hearts we're not serving Him. We're not truly following Him, but we're just going through the motions. And for others, we've never experienced any relationship with Him at all. We may have been coming to church, but we've never had a relationship with Jesus. It's not about church, it's about relationship. So I want to pray for you if that's you, and if you know that your intimacy with God is really on a low. You're really not connected the way you know you should be or could be, or you've never had that connection. Would you just slip up a hand and say, that's me, that's me. Yep, there's quite a few people here. Yep, that's right. That's right. And I think all of us can do that from time to time in our lives. We all get to that place of missing the boat. So Father, right now, we repent. It says repent. We repent of walking away. We repent of taking the hand off the plow. We repent of missing the boat. And today we choose to come home. We choose to come and put our hand back on that plow and walk the road with you. And right now, we ask you to come back into our lives. Mm. Come into our lives.
Yield.
Become the Lord of our lives. So that we would walk that out in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We yield. We've spoken about a lot of things this morning. And much of it has to do with technology. How many of you got one of these somewhere on your person today? Okay. Right, so we're all on the same page. Now, our lives are a little bit like this phone. I can switch it on, but when I get home, I need to put it on charge. And if I don't put it on charge, it doesn't jolly well work. We all know that, right? Battery low, plug in. Now, a lot of people are like a phone where the battery is low, plug it in, but they're saying, no, let me just open 10 more. I can just open 10 more apps, and we could just, I could look at my WhatsApp, I can look at the Facebook, I can go, oh, let me send those photos quickly. There's no power. There's no power. And what are we going to do? In Ephesians 5:18, it says, don't get drunk with wine, for that's wickedness, corruption, and stupidity. Amplified. But be filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly guided by Him. Are you a Christian that is going, I could just go to church one more time, or I could just do this. I've done my daily reading. Tick. I've prayed for the world peace. Tick. You've got so many apps open, but actually your battery power is low. That be filled with the Holy Spirit is be filled and be being filled constantly. Constantly. You know, we don't let our cars run out of petrol and then go, well, I'll just go around the block one more time and I'll get that petrol that's a bit cheaper. We know when the petrol's run out. We know when the battery power's run out on our phone. And this morning we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and recharge us for the journey ahead so that we're steadfast, we're immovable, we're able to do all He's called us to do. If you're a mommy here, your batteries have been depleted. I can guarantee you. You know, I was saying the other night, dealing with the ongoing or working from home is hard. It's hard, especially if you've got kids there. You know, we've all seen the videos where the little ones go, "Mommy, wipe my bum," you know, and you're supposed to be in a business meeting. We haven't taken the time. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to just come. And you know what? I'm going to ask no, I don't want the ministry team up. Have you got some music at the back there? Because I think the ministry team, they're always giving out. They're in the practice. You haven't seen them, but I know that they've been in practice. They're choosing the songs. They're in touch with each other. This morning, everybody, whether you're a minister that's helped with the communion, helped with whatever, your battery is going to be re-plugged in for the next 2 minutes, and we'll get a recharge. Is that cool? Okay. Lord, we invite you. Oh, Lord, we know that so often we've run on empty. We've tried to do things in our own strength. We confess this morning we're weak. We can't do it without you. We're like Peter, stumbling around, doing really daft things. But when he received power, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And he was a witness in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Father, we want to be a witness for you. We admit we can't do it in our own strength. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, as we put our arms out to just receive from you.
Yeah.
Come. Come. Fill us anew. Fill our cup. Fill it up, Lord. Fill it up. Recharge us. That we wouldn't go out the same way we came in.
Yeah.
We wouldn't go out busy and tormented. We'd go out with the kingdom of God inside of us, knowing we're righteous because of the blood of Jesus. We would have peace through the Prince of Peace. And we would have joy in the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Say we love you, Lord. Come touch our lives, we pray.
Father, fill these tanks. Lord, we want to be a spirit tank, not a septic tank. Spirit tank. Spirit tank. Just ask the Lord. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, fill me, fill me, fill me. Wherever I walk, joy is taken. Wherever I walk, righteousness is taken. Wherever I walk, peace surrounds me. That the world may know that Jesus came to set it free. And we thank you, Father, for captives who have been captured for many years, just by being in our presence, would receive that spirit and be freed in Jesus' name. Pray for that right now in Jesus' name.
I feel like there's people here that Jesus is saying, it was for liberty that Christ has set us free. And this morning he wants to set you free. There's been chains that have bound you. Maybe it's chains of tradition. Maybe it's chains of addiction. I don't know what those chains are, but Jesus came to set the captive free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Just reach out for that freedom now. Nobody needs to touch you. He's going to touch you. Reach out for that freedom that you may be walking, leaping, and praising him. He is able to do more than you could ask, think, or even understand. But it's the power of God that works within you. It's the power of God that works within you. Just like the battery being charged in the cell phone or the petrol in the tank, it's the power of God that comes to set you free. Be free in Jesus' name. Be free. Be free.
So it's our heart that as you walk out today, you walk out with the fruits of the kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy. And many years ago, I was in Zimbabwe. In a town called Rua, and it was during one of the many times that it was very, very oppressive, and we were doing a kingdom building ministry there. And everybody came with their notepad and everything else, and they all looked miserable, so miserable, hadn't fed anything else. And I thought, what am I meant to speak on? And I just saw that scripture. For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I started to speak on joy. And from the back of the room, laughter started to just filter through. Until everyone in that room was laughing till they rolled on the floor. They couldn't help themselves laughing. And I said, we can't just have this and not give it to others. And we opened the doors, and the market was outside. And as they went out, we sang this song. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy. Come on. I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very. You can't do this and sit down, for heaven's sake. What's wrong with you? Come on now. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Woo! Down in my heart. Woo! Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Yeah! Now may the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God envelop us, and may the power of the Holy Spirit be with us today and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.